Glad to be in your church this morning. It's fun to be here. One part of my job is I get to visit lots of churches, and it's been a long time since I've been in this one. I mean, a long time, but great to be back here with you. I got to set the record straight on a few things just to make sense of all of this. I did come from the great state of Ohio yesterday, but I wasn't even out of Ohio yet when the Ohio State game I was listening to faded on my radio. And I tuned into the Penn State and listened to it the rest of the way here. So. the other thing is that, thankfully, next week when you'll be having your baptism, the Steelers aren't playing. They play on Monday night next week. So that works out well for all of us Steelers fans. And I had a 60th birthday this year. And my kids bought me two tickets to any Steelers game I wanted to get to. So I'm going to that Monday night game next week. That's how I know that. So that's coming up. You guys kind of live in a place, and you kind of live in that one of those spaces in Pennsylvania where you have to figure out, you know, which way you lean. I get all that. But hopefully you lean west. I do. So. My wife Shelley and I lived out in this end of Pennsylvania, though, one period of our life. I think it was 1991 that we moved to Chester County, if you know where that is, about halfway between here and Philadelphia. And for 4 years we lived there and did ministry. I met some of you back in those years, though that was a long time ago. And in 1995, our family moved out of the United States. We became sent ones of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and we served and lived in Russia for 15 years, from 1995 to 2010, we lived there. We still have people from the Alliance that are living and working in Russia today. Last year, when war broke out, people that were living in both of those countries, actually, Russia and Ukraine, left for a little while. But a few months later, when the size and scope and nature of this thing became a little bit more clear, some of those folks are back actually in both of those countries. I believe that on the other side of this crazy thing that's going on, there's going to be some new doors of opportunity for people to meet Jesus and to be served in Jesus' name in ways that bring glory to him. So that's an interesting thing, but we spent a good chunk of our life there. For 4 years after that, so this was like, I don't know, to 2010 to 14, we lived in Turkey, in Istanbul, Turkey, and that was our a place of sleeping. That was our apartment was there, and we got on airplanes all the time and took care of missionary teams in a variety of different countries in that part of the world. And for the last 9 years now, we've been living back in the United States. So that's a little bit of our journey, a little bit about who we are, a little bit about which team you want to watch when next week, and all that kind of stuff. I'm very thankful to your church for having this day and this focus today and next week with your offering, a Great Commission day or week or time that a church spends each year to say, wait a minute now. God is using us in this part of the world. This is our assignment, is to represent Jesus daily right here where we live. But around the world, there are places and peoples of need for the gospel, and we care about that too, and we've got to not lose that focus. So thank you for being a church that says, wait a minute, we're going to take a weekend each year and stop and remember that. And in fact, not only remember it fondly, but be asking God, how can you use us? What can we do? So that's great. I encourage you to participate in that offering. If you are sitting here and you've never done such a thing, you haven't yet had that opportunity to say, let's give something away that's actually for others in this world. I'm going to try to talk to you this morning about why I believe that's important. And in fact, that has a lot to do with what we do in our family of churches together. Your church is part of an alliance, or, you know, just an alliance is a bunch of people that get together because they care about the same thing and they're going to do something about it. And this alliance that we're part of, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, is saying, hey, God, we believe that people everywhere, regardless of their history or background or language or culture or even religious point of view that's been dominated that's been dominant for them for maybe centuries or more, they still deserve an opportunity to hear about Jesus. They deserve the same opportunity that we had. So we want to talk about that today. I'm thankful that you're taking time to remember that and to think about what it means for us in our part of the world to be involved in what God's doing in other parts of the world. It brings pleasure to Him. Just like our worship and lifting up of His name today, God is pleased that we join Him in what He's doing because He loves lots of people in the world that don't yet know any of His names. So, thank you for this chance to be with you today. So, here's what I want to do. This message that I want to share with you this morning is called Now to the Hard Places. And we're talking about that theme in the life of our alliance this year because people will often ask, oh my goodness, these people we hear, some of the missionaries that maybe have, that you know and love and partner with, or that have come to your church and talked about what's going on in the world, live in some tough places of the world. I just mentioned a war-torn situation. You know what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. I was able to visit there in April of this year. And because we're trying to take steps that we believe will really lead to opportunity. With your church leaning in and doing short-term trips and stuff like that, let me know that I think this one's coming. I think at the end of this war, there's going to be a great opportunity for the Christians that are already there, the churches that are in some of these communities, right along the front lines where this war is taking place, to stand up and say, hey, it's time for us to rebuild, and we are the people of Jesus. We're ready to help. And I think there's going to be an opportunity for us to go help our brothers and sisters in that situation serve their communities as they rebuild. So watch for that. That may be something you could participate in. So I'm happy to be with you today. I'm happy for what you're doing. And I want to do a couple things today. We're going to look at God's Word. Because when we think about the hard places of the world that are hard because of history or wars or geopolitics today, places that it can be hard for anybody who might be able to share the good news of Jesus with others to go and live. How do we get that done? What do we do when it becomes hard? I want to look at a scripture where the Apostle Paul wrote, so this is in the New Testament. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians, his letter to the Corinthians. And I believe I see a pattern in how God worked through Paul and was working in that Corinthian church that he wrote to that gives us some clues about how God's going to get it done even in hard places and even in hard times and hard situations. You know, it's important to talk about this because if we really believe what you heard me say a few minutes ago, that God wants all peoples everywhere, regardless of their background, history, culture, and religion, to have the opportunity to hear about Jesus. If you really believe that that's the case, then the question is, why are so many peoples of the world today, and such a huge portion of the world's population, why are they people that haven't yet gotten that chance? What's going on? What makes that hard? Here's what I want to say. The remaining unreached people, people that haven't been reached with the gospel, the remaining unreached peoples of this world remain unreached for a reason. And the reason is it's been hard to reach them. It's been hard for other people who know Jesus from other contexts of the world to make their way there or to be able to live there and make a difference and share the gospel. So we want to think about these hard places, and I think Paul's testimony of his ministry in Corinth and the way the Corinthians then joined in taking the gospel beyond still further gives us some clues to how God doesn't run out of strategic ways of getting done what he wants done, even in the hard places. So that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So I hear a lot of pages turning. Sometimes I go to church and there's no pages anymore. Some of us are flipping through our phone, finding 2 Corinthians chapter 10, but I hear a lot of pages here. So if you got a Bible or a phone, that's where we want to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to use my phone and join you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there is a context to what's going on, and we'll talk about that in a moment, because Paul jumps right in. We're going to start in verse 13. He starts talking about we will not boast. Why in the world is he talking about boasting? And you'll hear that a few times in here. So after we've read this passage, I'll back up and give you that context. What was going on? What was he talking about? But it's the pattern of his ministry here that we want to study. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Paul says, "But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us." And then he defines what that area of influence was. "To reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. We were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel, the good news of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labor of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence," there he said it again, "our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let him who boasts," if anybody's going to boast, "let him just boast in the Lord." Okay? So that's the passage. Now, you heard all this stuff about boasting in there, so let's just talk about what's going on. Why is Paul talking about it? If you read the whole chapter, in fact, if you read the whole book, you'd see that that Paul wants to come back to this church in Corinth, which was a church that he founded when he was a missionary, and he refers to that. He says, "We reached all the way to you. We came all the way to you with the gospel." He was the missionary that came to Corinth because those people had not yet heard about Jesus, and he was the one that came. But now he's coming back years later, or he's writing this letter to them years later, and it seems like in the years that he's been gone, there's been some wonder, like, why would he come back here? Like, he's the missionary guy, right? He's gone. He did his job here. He's moved on. I think there were leaders in the church in Corinth that felt a little threatened by this guy coming back. When Shelley and I lived in Chester County all those years ago, we were there to start a new church in a community. And we didn't know a lot about what we were doing, but some people came to Jesus. That church got formed, and here we are 35 years later. That church is still there in a neighboring community nearby where we started it. And every now and then, they invite us to visit, and we go back. And I've wondered, you know, there's a nice young man that's the pastor of that church right now, Matt. Some of you may know Matt. And when I go back to visit, I'm like, what does he think when I come back? You know, I mean, we led, and there are still people in that church, you know, from all those years ago when we started it, and they always kind of wonder what will Tim and Shelley talk about when they come. And so I don't know what goes through his head. He's a great guy. We have a good relationship, and I don't think he feels threatened when I visit. But something was going on here where the leaders in the Corinth church felt a little bit threatened by Paul, and they're like, accusing him of, you know, he's just going to come in here and kind of brag a bit, maybe try to raise some money off of our backs and move on, you know. So does he really need to come? Does he really need to be writing to us? What's he really up to? So that's the context. And Paul's saying, no, I'm not boasting. This isn't about me boasting about anything. Now, Paul, if you've read stuff he writes in the New Testament, he'll often say, no, that's not what I'm doing, but if I were, let me tell you what I would say about it. And so he says, look, this isn't about us boasting. We're not coming in to try to, you know, to make a big deal about ourselves. But frankly, I suppose I do have some grounds. I mean, my goodness, you people wouldn't have had the opportunity to hear the gospel if I hadn't come in the first place. So if that means anything to you at all, if you remember at all that, you know, that's how you found out about Jesus, was that at a certain point in time, God used us in our ministry, and now you know Jesus, then give me a little bit of space because there's something I want to invite you into, and that's why I'm coming. So that's kind of the background of what's going on, and that's why it's so much about boasting. But that's really not what we want to talk about. What I want to look at is what Paul then says about that ministry and about today and the new opportunities that lie even into the future. Okay, he's going to talk about the past, the present, and the future. And what I see in this passage are, Paul talks about three kinds of reach. So if I'm saying to you there are people in the world that still aren't reached, there are remaining unreached peoples, and they remain unreached because it's hard to reach them. Paul talks about what reaching is all about in three different ways in this passage. So the first one I just call first reach. And first reach is about the concept of unreached peoples itself. We talked about this a bit at 9 o'clock this morning. What does it mean that a group of people in the world that live in one country or that speak one language or that have one particular type of culture, but yet they don't have amongst them believers walking around that share the good news of Jesus, that could be defined as an unreached group of people. And what that means is if in any group of people that are defined in any way, that kind of feel like this is us by any definition, don't have someone amongst them who knows Jesus, then the only kind of people they could hear about Jesus from would be outsiders, right? Nobody in my group can tell me about Jesus. I need somebody from outside of my group to tell us about Jesus. And that's kind of the way that the gospel spreads. And Paul talks about this when he talks about first reach. So do you remember what he said? Hey, this is not some guy talking like, you know, just trying to use an example of the missionaries that did reach you. I was the missionary that reached you. So Paul talks about first reach. First reach is about making sure that a group of people that don't have any insider, anybody like themselves that can tell them about Jesus, they're going to need an outsider. They're going to need somebody to come from outside. And Paul says God's in the business of first reach. God, so you hear what he said? God gave us a sphere of influence that he assigned to us. That word sphere of influence or area of influence could be translated realm or field or job or task, right? So there's a job description God has for some people that's an assignment to be a first reach kind of reacher. That's a missionary calling. God is in the business of saying, hey, in my church, I give different gifts for different reasons so that the body will be built up, so that we can impact the community around, so that you can be on mission with me. And one of the gifts that he gives is gifting people and assigning them the task of being first reachers. And Paul was one of those. Paul was a first reacher for many people, but included are the Corinthians themselves. So we want to stop right now and think about what's God doing in our world today. By different ways of defining groups of people around the world that do or don't have enough access or opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus, there are, by the most minimal way of counting that I know, when you think about ethnicity, culture, and language, there are at least 4,000 groups of people that probably could be described as not having enough access to the good news of Jesus inside their culture. So there's still a lot to do. 3 billion of the 8 billion people on the planet are members of one of those 4,000 people groups. So 3 of 8 billion people live in a place, live in a group where first reach hasn't yet happened. Or at least hasn't happened for them personally. There might be a believer somewhere amongst them in some city, but in the majority of their group's situation. People are going to be born, they're going to grow up, they're going to get married, they might have kids, they're going to reach the end of their life, and they're going to pass away, and they will not have met somebody who could tell them about Jesus. Okay? That's the unreached. And first reach is about the fact that God assigns certain people in his church the responsibility to be first reachers. That's what happened to me. When I was growing up in a church like yours, out on the other end of the state where we like the Steelers, God began to speak to me. And as I leaned in and as I tried to learn about that call, as I got involved in ministry in the church, as I went on some trips with those, you know, other kids in my youth group, it began to take shape. And I began to discover I'm more moved about this disparity of access to hearing Jesus' name that exists in our world than I'm moved by a lot of other things that are great and wonderful and I read in God's Word. And I began to realize that's because God's putting a call on my life. He's saying, would you be one of the first reach type of people? That's what happened to Paul, and he did it. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to Shelley, my wife. We met each other and decided, wow, we could do this together. We liked each other, but we shared this sense that God is still in the business of first reach, and he is asking some of his people to be first reachers, and we felt like that's what he was asking us to do. So we put ourselves out there, we committed our way to him, and that's how God used us. And I hope it's still using us today. So the first reach that Paul talks about here is the reach that gets the gospel for the first time to people that have not yet had the opportunity to hear it. So Paul was involved in first reach. So that was a bunch of years ago, and now there's a church in Corinth. In fact, when we read about the church in Corinth, it probably wasn't just one church the way we think of a church today. There were probably different bodies of believers gathering in different homes or workplaces or out, you know, wherever they gathered in the city of Corinth, and he addresses them all. So now we're getting to the present. That was the past, and it's about first reach. He gets to the present, and this I'm going to call broad reach. Because Paul says in verse 15, my hope, so this isn't about boasting, this isn't about the past really. Let's talk about the present. He says, my hope is that as your faith increases, this assignment that God gave me amongst you can grow and increase. What is he talking about? So he comes back years later. Now, when I go back and visit that little church in Chester County, I said, Matt, my friend who's the pastor there, he's not very threatened by me showing up. But if I showed up and said, as your faith increases, I've got something more I'm going to ask you guys to do, then he might start getting a little worried. What's Tim up to? What is it he's asking us to do? So what is this that Paul's talking about? What is what I want to call broad reach? Well, Paul says this. He says two things are going to happen. And he's describing God's plan for how the gospel is going to get to the hard places. He's saying God's not done with the church when it got planted. The missionary may have moved on, like Paul moved on. He wasn't there in Corinth anymore. But God's not done with you all. Paul's coming back to his church saying God's not done with you all. He's at work amongst you. Two things are going to happen. One, your faith is going to increase. Secondly, it's going to increase in a way that broadens your reach, or broadens his reach, God's reach, in your community. That's what he's going to do. So Paul's literally saying to the Corinthians, listen, God's plan is that the reached now become reachers themselves. God's plan is that receivers of the gospel become givers of the gospel. And I'm circling back to you all in Corinth to make sure you understand that. This wasn't just a thing where God used some of us and now you have the good news of Jesus and you're privileged and you're loving it because he's changed your life. God wants you as a receiver to now turn around and become a giver. And what he's really talking about is when the life of a church goes from narrow to broad in its community. Look around you, he's saying. There are more pockets of people around this city of Corinth that haven't yet been touched by the gospel. And God's plan for them to be reached is you. It's the receivers that can now turn to their neighbors and become givers. And the gospel begins, the area of influence, okay, that assignment of reaching now grows broad. So first reach is this launch that brings the gospel to Corinth, and now broad reach is how the gospel then spreads out in Corinth. And Paul says, don't forget about anybody. I want you to be not forgetting about the poor. I want you to be ministering to people in the workplace. Go to the synagogues and speak to the Jewish people that know about God and make sure they know who the Messiah is. And go to the marketplace, not only to the synagogue, and talk to the people that are into other religious and philosophical points of view and share the gospel with them. And don't forget about the widows. And don't forget, you see, Paul's saying the gospel lands because there's been first reach, but now it's going to expand because there's this broadening reach when we, who've received the good news, turn around and say, who else can I give it to? And who lives right near me yet might be underprivileged in terms of the opportunity to be touched by the gospel? What can I do about it? Paul's inviting them into that picture. So when Shelley and I lived in Turkey, one of our jobs was to discover, are there new places in this part of the world where God could use the Alliance family? And so we spent a lot of time traveling around. I can't mention all these places. I got to be careful what I say because of our live streaming today. But think of the part of the world where all the countries end in the word stan, right? You know a bunch of those places? There's a lot of stans out there. So find that on your globe, you know, in the middle of Asia. We spent a lot of time walking around a lot of countries that end with stan, and discovered, lo and behold, that yes, God was preparing a way for people from our Alliance churches to be at work in a couple of those countries, and we invested in getting those started. And a lot of that was about first reached. These were places where there just weren't believers walking around that could share Jesus, and it had to be about first reach. Now, in one of those countries, I wasn't surprised to see it because I see it all the time. Through these 700 missionaries that work around the world with the Christian Missionary Alliance, you send missionaries to some place because of this major population that hasn't had a good opportunity to know about Jesus. And while they're at it, lo and behold, they begin to discover other pockets of people that are not necessarily the majority in that population. And they're even less well touched by the gospel. And sometimes they live in great need. And so in one of these stan countries, we set up a team that's about the people of that stan, and there's 7 million of them that really don't have much opportunity to know about Jesus. And sure enough, before long, our teams discover, well, you know what? There's not only those people that speak that language, but there are a bunch of different minority groups here that speak other languages, and they've been persecuted and pushed aside, and they have even less opportunity to be impacted by the gospel. We've got to do something about them as well. You see, what's happening is that our first reachers that we sent began to receive God's passion as their faith grew to say, hey, there are other overlooked pockets of people here that we got to be thinking about. Now, I love to talk about this one. I'm getting preachy here, Pastor, because we all should be doing this. We're all receivers of the gospel, and God wants every receiver of the gospel to realize there's a barrier near you behind which are some people that aren't going to hear unless we get creative about how to cross those barriers and reach to them too. So let me just, I'm going to use my notes here because I don't want to miss this. But think about the examples that may exist in our communities. In our world today, and I'm going to speak globally here at first, in our world today there are 43 million blind people. There are 430 million deaf people. Some people, when they count the unreached peoples of the world, they always count the deaf people in that population group as a separate people group because it's harder to reach them. You've got to speak a different sign language to be able to reach that people than the verbal language of the major population amongst whom they live. Blind and deaf people are often overlooked pockets inside the majority population where they live. And that's true not only in these mission fields overseas, but in your community as well. There are 650 million disabled people, 300 million migrants that live in a different country than the one they were born in. 153 million orphans live on our planet today. 685 million people live in extreme poverty, meaning that they live on less than $2.50 a day. 1.2 billion people also live in multidimensional poverty, which is based on health, education opportunities, and living standards. 160 million people are addicted to alcohol or illicit drugs, with over 100,000 overdose deaths in the United States last year alone. The LGBTQ plus community represents a growing subgroup in our culture and globally, and nearly in every society of our world, we find cultural, racial, ethnic, and language minorities living in our cities, including those who have become our new neighbors, like you're discovering here. And this is the reality, this was the present reality that Paul was speaking to. The past reality was people of Corinth never heard the gospel. First Reach brought the gospel to them, but the reality of today is the church is here now. There are people that have become Jesus' own that live in this city. Now let's look around and see the contours of this city and discover who are some of these overlooked people that aren't going to hear unless somebody gets creative about crossing that barrier. Now, when I watch missionaries do this around the world, when they go for the sake of this large population, but then they discover these overlooked pockets, one of the interesting things that I observe as they do it is that these pockets of people may be characterized not only by need, but also by opportunity. And sometimes the opportunity to serve the blind. So in one of those Stan countries, one of the groups that are being served are girls that don't know how to swim. It's a mountainous country full of rushing whitewater rivers, and the highest cause of death of a female under 12 years old is drowning because nobody teaches girls to swim. In their culture, that's been an odd thing. And so guess what? The non-governmental organization that we run in that country does several things. One of the ones that they do is teach girls how to swim. And by serving this pocket, guess what? The people in the city stood around and said, wow. Like, I don't know why it never occurred to us, but you guys did it. Thank you. If you hadn't come here, this wouldn't have got started. This is a good thing. You see, when our faith increases and we realize God wants us to cross barriers and do the creative so that people that never would have been impacted by the good of Jesus are, and their lives change for the better, the whole community stands up and takes notice. And so sometimes when we will do the odd thing, the creative thing, of finding a group of people that has need and serving them in Jesus' name, the dominant group, the larger group, the big population says, wow, what's up with those Jesus people? They care. They're meeting needs that we haven't even figured out how to meet. And the credibility of the good news of Jesus comes on to the fore for the dominant part of the population. So I love it when I see this happening on our mission fields. People have gone there to reach this dominant population, but it's hard to reach them. How are we going to reach people that for 2,000 years haven't been reached? Who do we think we are? Well, one thing I see happening is as God begins to open our eyes, and especially if there are believers and we can join hands with that group, this is what I think is going to happen in the Ukraine. There are a handful of churches there that we partner with, and they're not big and they're not fancy, and a lot of people don't know about them, but I could name 20 communities where I believe the key group of people in that community to help rebuild after this war could be that little church of Jesus followers. Especially if we could join hands with them and empower them and work alongside them. And then people will see, wow, look what the Jesus people are doing. There's something to this good news that they talk about. And that's how dominant populations can be reached. So Paul is saying, listen, there's this second thing called broadening reach that I want you to know about. And I want to see it happen in Corinth. Because when it does, boy, then things really boom. Then people really see what the gospel's like. And you're going to see more rank-and-file Corinthians coming to Christ because we've served the deaf and the blind and the widowed and the poor in Jesus' name. And people take notice and they say, I want to know about this Jesus. That's what we see going on. All right, I got to hurry up. Because there's one more reach that Paul talks about in this passage. And it's the third reach. It's what I call next reach. So did you catch it? It's also in that verse 15. So in verse 15 is where Paul said, this isn't about boasting. No, my hope is that as your faith grows, our sphere of influence, our field of missionary work is going to expand among you. So that's that expansion in Corinth to the overlooked pockets that brings glory to Jesus' name. And then that snowballs because more Corinthians come to Christ through the good witness of a church that's touching the needs of the community. And the thing begins to grow. And then what's Paul say? As that happens, we're going to be able to then take the gospel beyond you. And that's next reach. And it's beyond. Now, I'm running out of time, so I don't have a ton of time to explain to you. But if you read this scripture, or if you remember old hymns, like I remember an old hymn called To the Regions Beyond. Do you remember that song? Anybody old enough? Thanks for admitting it. To the Regions Beyond. That song came from this scripture. And because when you read it in the old King James Version, it used to say that. Regions beyond you. I think in the NIV I read from this morning, or whatever version I read from, it said the areas beyond you, or the territory beyond you. Guess what? There is no land. There's no word in there that's about land or region or territory. It's just beyond. So Paul's point is this. When the gospel not only lands, that's first reach, but expands, that's broad reach, the church becomes strong enough. It gains the critical mass, and God's at work, and he's calling. He's given new first reach call to somebody to say, let's do the next reach. And that's when the receivers of the gospel not only become givers of it locally, but now they're ready to take the gospel beyond to those who still are waiting. So think about those 4,000 people groups. 3 billion people of the world that still really haven't had a good opportunity. Who's going to reach them? How's it going to happen? It's through this multiplication, right? The gospel lands, the church grows, they become aware of and passionate about crossing barriers in Jesus' name. That brings credibility. The church grows even more because of that credibility. It gains critical mass. Now we can send people beyond to the next place. And God's hope is that everywhere the gospel lands through first reach, they're going to experience broad reach so that he can then use them in next reach. And that's how all 4,000 of these people groups are going to get reached. So the happy news in all that is it's not up to us ourselves. On one hand, God is going to call more first reach reachers. Or if you want to call them, you can go ahead and call them next reach reachers from us. But he's also calling them from the stands, where those people are new believers, and their churches are getting with it, and they're gaining credibility, and their churches are growing, and critical mass is growing so that they can send. And today, when missionaries like the ones whose pictures hang in your lobby, and you look at and you pray for them, they are partnering with people from the stands, and from the Philippines, and from Hong Kong, and from South America. This thing is blossoming and multiplying, and that's the way the world's going to be reached. And that's why Paul is saying to the Corinthians, I want to come back, and I want to have something to say, because I want to see this process go amongst you. So our question this morning has been, how will the hard work that remains get done? There's a reason unreached peoples today still remain unreached, and it's because they're hard to reach. So what's it going to take? My point is this. God has a plan. And his plan is that everywhere the gospel lands, it expands. And that's where the power to reach beyond comes from. And it doesn't just come from one group of us or some of us. If we're in the habit of thinking missions is about white people from the West going to other parts of the planet, guess what? It's way beyond that now. Missions is about those who receive becoming givers. It's about first reach leading to broad reach, leading to beyond. This is the way the gospel will be communicated to all the peoples of earth. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 tells us that when this good news of Jesus has been preached in all these people groups of all the world, that's when the end will come. That's what brings Jesus back. That's what brings our worship this morning and our mission to its culmination, where mission ceases and we're all together with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get to the end of God's plan for this earth. So my question today is, are you ready for your next step? Number one, be thankful. No group was always first reached. If you heard the gospel, it's because there was a first reach somewhere in our collective history. Secondly, if you're not yet involved in broad reach, jump in. Plenty of opportunities in your neck of the woods. Thirdly, God is not done calling some of us to next reach. The new first reach, for someone, the next reach, to reaching beyond. He may be calling you today. We're going to wrap this up in a moment. Dwayne's going to come and walk you through that response mechanism that you talked about earlier. Now's the time for us to begin saying, God, what are you saying to me? What box on that list should I maybe check? What are you asking of me? How are you at work in my life? Let's discover what he's saying to each one of us about joining in his plan for the rest of the hard work yet to be done. Now is the time. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for our journey this morning with the Apostle Paul and the church in Corinth. It's allowed us to see that you got a plan and you're not done. Thank you that our people were reached. Most of us in this room got to hear the good news from someone in our own group. And that's because we were first reached. Move us to a broadening reach in this community and call out amongst us the people and the collaboration of all of us that it takes to see others go beyond to where the gospel's still needed. We ask you to be at work in this way, in this church, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.